Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the all-new Opel Crossland. Beauty isn't scared of life.
Susan, thank you very much. More than half of all babies did not receive crucial development health checks due before they turned one because of the pandemic. Public health nurse visits and important screening checks have been curtailed and delayed as a result of restrictions, and the HSE cannot say when full services will resume, according to the Irish Examiner this morning. GP at Generation Health Medical Clinics, Dr. Nina Burns, joins us on the line now. Nina, this is very disappointing because it's one of the things that we did do quite well for young children.
Yeah, we did. You know, when we had normal functioning healthcare, those were the things that tended to happen on time, and parents were always delighted to attend with their children for them. So it's disappointing that it isn't happening. I suppose it wasn't a surprise for us to see the headline, because we have we've been getting calls from parents many times in the last months and in the last year, really. Because unfortunately what's happening is some parents are ringing the health centre because they're aware of when the different checks are due, and then they're being told in some health centres to contact their GP to do the check. And then when the parents ring us, you know, it's upsetting for them, but I suppose GP is running a normal general practice service. We've also taken on a lot of extra work doing the vaccines, doing the referrals. And we are not the people properly, properly set up to do these routine health checks. GPs do a check at 2 years and 6 years. That's part of the care that we offer on the under six. But the developmental checks should not be sent to general practice, and they aren't happening in general practice because we just don't have the capacity to do them. So we've had to say to parents, look, we're really sorry. Obviously, if you have a specific concern, and this is always really important, any parent who's concerned about their child, if they feel there's something not right, they shouldn't wait for their routine checks. They should go to their doctor, and we would happily see any child a parent is worried about. But as regards routine checkups, we aren't doing them, and it's important that they are done.
What I was going to say is, as distressing as it might be for the parents of second and third children that you're talking about, the first-time parents wouldn't know what it is that is supposed to be routinely happening and what might be missed. So they're in an even worse position.
Yeah, and you know, I really feel for first-time parents in the pandemic because, I mean, I know when I had my first child, I actually ended up almost moving home to my mother for the first few weeks because my husband was working shift work and, you know, we didn't really have many other people around. But the support I had and just the little words of wisdom that you get in your ear, you know, and the support you got, even not having to think about the meal to cook. You know, our family are and close friends are an integral support to first-time parents for the most part. And first-time parents in the pandemic, they didn't have that. So they weren't able to call their mom or their best friend or whoever it was they would have reached out to come over and just help them if they were having a bad day. So I think it was all the more important, really, that these contacts in health were there. And, you know, I'm not going to blame the public health nurses. I mean, talking to people who work in public health, they are absolutely frustrated because they are having staff diverted to COVID services. And again, it's not, you know, we obviously have to have people swabbing, we have to have people vaccinating. But I think really what this exposes, it might seem to be a small thing about healthcare, but what it's exposing again is how short-staffed we are in our frontline services and how we have no stress room. So if there's a stress, we have to pull services from one area to another. And that's not really how a health service would function. We should have enough staff to cover all of this, you know.
And we should also pay tribute to the work of public health nurses in this particular area, because I would imagine that the amount of developmental issues or illnesses or problems that are not being spotted and quietly dealt with in the way that public health nurses are able to when they make home visits is going to be quite telling.
No, public health nurses are amazing in this. And I suppose these don't always happen in the home. You know, people bring their parents to their children to a health centre. But certainly, you know, GPs, we sort of are, you know, we consider the public health nurses essential. And quite often you'll get a kind of a quiet call from a public health nurse who might say, look, I saw this baby today. You know, they passed everything, but they're just not quite right. I've asked them to go see you. Or even, you know, the mother was with them and I'm just worried that she might not be coping as well as she should. I think she might seem a bit down. Quite often things like postnatal depression are actually picked up by these nurses. And so it's so much more important than just the routine developmental check of the baby. And these services are essential. My understanding is an awful lot of these nurses are the sort of main reasons they're being deployed initially for testing, but now an awful lot of them are deployed as vaccinators. And part of the problem with that is the recruitment process for vaccinators is so complex that they're not able to get their new vaccinators on board. They're having to pull people from other services. So we've all been crying out for this, but this recruitment process needs to be reviewed. You know, someone who's a qualified nurse, doctor, pharmacist, dentist, they are qualified to give injections. They should not have to go through a whole recruitment process with their leaving cert. You know, maybe do some training, but this really needs to be reviewed because it's pulling services from elsewhere.
Let's try and be a bit constructive here then. Is there an alternative model for making sure that these developmental checks and gentle oversight actually happens that doesn't require completely restructuring the entire health service?
So we need to get these public health nurses back to work. And another issue is there are obviously any pregnant nurses have been advised to work from home, so they're being diverted from frontline. But now that most of our healthcare workers are vaccinated, maybe that policy can be reviewed and the health and safety issues reviewed to make sure they can return to work if it's safe. So I think there are a number of things that might need to be reviewed, because whatever we need to do with public health nurses, they've chosen to be public health nurses because they are very good at what they do in the community, and that is where their skills lie. And we really need to get them back into our communities.
Indeed. And the texts coming in highlight exactly what it is that you're saying about the value of the service that was being provided here before the pandemic. Anna texts on 51551, "This is an absolute disgrace. I've had my daughter distraught with nowhere to turn to while minding a new baby." Presumably a familiar story to you, Nina.
Yeah, no, very much so. And our heart really goes out to all of those mothers and fathers, obviously, who are struggling at home. Feeling unsupported. And obviously, as GPs, we want to offer whatever support we can. And I would absolutely say, if you have any concerns about your child, do book an appointment to see your doctor. But we unfortunately don't have the capacity to do the routine checks either.
Dr. Nina Burns, thank you very much for your time this morning. Now, all I'm going to tell you about what we're going to be doing after the break is it's going to wake you up.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.